Holmes-Joins? Hi, Chuck.
Hi.
We're just about to start.
Okay, I succeeded, by the way.
Excuse me, this is the coordinator. I would just like to inform all participants that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you. You may now begin.
Okay, thank you very much, operator. Okay, might as well start with a roll call. Can you do that, Glenn?
Yes, certainly, Avery. Philip Shepherd has sent his apologies. He's absent. Mark Rodenbach?
Yes.
Saeed Jamil?
Yes.
Christina Rosette?
Present.
Cyril Chua? Tony Holmes?
Here.
Tony Harris? Greg Ruth?
Here.
Mary Wong? Carlos Souza?
Yes.
Adrian Kinderis?
Good morning.
Tim Ruiz?
Here.
Stefan Van Helder?
Yes.
Jordi Iparaguirre?
Here.
Chuck Gomes?
Here.
Edmund Chan? Terry Davis? Edmund,
here.
I think. Thanks. Terry Davis?
Here.
Avery Doria?
Here.
Olga Cavelli?
Here.
And Alan Greenberg for the ALAC?
Here.
We have no CCNSO observer. And for staff, we have Kurt Pritz, Denise Michel, Rob Hogarth, Marika Koenigs, Liz Gaster, Margie Millim, Ken Bauer, and Olaf sends his apologies.
Yeah, I know about that one.
And have I missed off any staff? Thank you, Avery.
Okay, thank you. Okay, in terms of the meeting, by the way, does everybody know why we have no more CCNSO? I don't know if that message went out to the whole list, but if it didn't, basically Pierre, who had just joined us, got a new job working with the French government and therefore had to basically drop out of doing CCNSO functions, and therefore sent his apologies, said he was looking forward to it, but this was not a job he was going to turn down. So we will hopefully get a new, you had sent a message, Olga, but we will get a new one hopefully soon. Okay, does anyone have an updated SOI they need to mention? Okay, as always, I'd like to remind people that if you need to, please do send it to Glenn, and then please let the council know about it at the next meeting if you haven't done so already on the list. In terms of the agenda, I haven't made any changes to what's been sent out. Does anybody have any other business that needs to be added to the end of the agenda? Okay, then we'll accept the agenda as written. Move on. Approve minutes. We don't have any minutes ready for approval at this time, so we'll skip over that item. And the next item we have is the vice chair election. Glenn, can you fill us in on the nominations?
Certainly, Avery. Thank you. Chuck Gomes is the only candidate nominated by Olga Cavelli and seconded by Stefan Van Helder. Chuck has provided a candidate statement which is posted on the council mailing list, and it is customary for council to vote at a meeting for the vice chair.
Okay. So, having been nominated and seconded and having sent a statement, we've got Chuck. I want to know, is there any objection to approving Chuck by acclamation? I'd like to ask everyone to say aye to approving Chuck by acclamation as vice chair. Please say aye.
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 Any opposed or abstentions?
One abstention.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. Chuck, welcome back as vice chair. I enjoyed working with you up to now, and I expect I'll continue to enjoy it, and thank you for being willing to keep doing it. The next item is the vote on the OSC charter. At the last meeting, we had discussed the charter, and there had been some comments on it that were sent back to the OSC, and it was tabled into this meeting. It was revised on 21st January, edited on 22nd January, and all the OSC members have approved the edits that were proposed by the council. So I don't believe the motion hasn't changed at all, I don't believe. I'm hoping that those who had issues with the charter have taken the chance to look at it. Chuck, would you like to say anything about the charter before?
Sure. We did incorporate the suggested edits from our last council meeting. Every one of the OSC members did approve the edits. One other comment, PPSC has, they had originally proposed the rules, I think, and we just adopted the rules that they had accepted. They have since made some changes to those rules. Rather than complicate things, the view of the committee members, the OSC, is that let's go ahead as planned, vote on this motion as is, and we'll, just like with the PPSC, the working teams themselves will have a chance to review the rules, and we will make sure that they're aware, that the OSC teams are aware of those edits, which I think probably are all fine, and then deal with those possible changes to the rules when we do the charters, because they really apply to the team charters anyway. So that our recommendation, based on talk on the OSC list, is to just go ahead with this motion as is, leave the rules as they were previously submitted, and deal with the possible changes later. Any questions on that?
Okay. Anyone wish to speak on this? I'll take a cue if there's an interest. Okay, on hearing no cue, as I say, the motion was made by Chuck and seconded by Olga. Any objection to taking an ayes and nay vote? If not, okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, please say
aye.
Nay. Any abstentions? Okay, thank you. It passes unanimously. The next item on the charter is the PPSC charter. This is the first time this charter has been up for approval. It was amended. I'll give the floor to Tim in a second. One thing I would like to mention is that the PPSC did take the changes that were recommended for the OSC charter, did look at them, and I believe did make similar changes. Tim, would you like to say anything about the charter?
Sorry,
are you on mute, Tim? Okay.
Just realized that. Not much. I think the edits that have been suggested have all been incorporated, pretty much just trying to bring the charter in line with the original recommendations of the Board Governance Committee and their document, so I don't think there's much difference there. And then the rules are pretty much are basically the same thing that the OSC Working Group actually originally drafted and that we edited. But again, I think we recognize the same thing, that they're likely to, or there could be some modifications or changes later on, so we're not expecting this to be final and irrevocable. I guess that's it.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to mention that on things like the working on working team charter rules and such, since one of those working teams is how do working groups, kind of like working teams work, I think we can expect more charter fiddling and such from that group than we would see in other groups, because there's very much a self-reflective process going on in terms of how one charters teams and groups. Would anybody like to ask any questions or make any comments on the PPSC charter? Okay, hearing no comments, any objection to an ayes and nays vote? Okay, All those in favor of accepting the PPSC charter, please say aye.
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 All those opposed to the charter, please say nay. Any abstentions? Thank you. This one has passed unanimously. Okay, moving on to the next item on the agenda, which is the individual non-commercial registrants users issue. So basically, there's been sort of medium-long story on this, in that there was first the report from the working group that basically indicated that the GNSO was recommending that users be included in the SO as opposed to just registrants in sort of I guess contradiction to what had been suggested in the original recommendations from the board committee. And basically the board is now working, in fact it's on its next agenda, to talk about users in and their role in the GNSO. In the meantime, they had basically come back to us with a motion asking the ALAC, the at-large community, ALAC, and the GNSO community to basically give some feedback on what we recommended or what thoughts we had vis-a-vis the inclusion of users in the GNSO. There was some initial discussions between the chair of ALAC and myself about a possible way of setting up a co-work between the GNSO Council and the ALAC on this. This method was pretty much accepted by the ALAC, however, was not accepted by members of the GNSO, largely because it was felt that this was more a non-commercial issue than it was a GNSO council issue. And this is just a personal comment I add. I think that part of that was sort of confusing the issue of user involvement in the SO with the issue of interfering with the non-commercial stakeholder group charter, that those two issues got somewhat mixed up, and perhaps they are hard to pull apart. So since then, there's been certain discussion, and an alternative motion has been offered by Chuck and seconded by Bill Drake, and I'd like to ask Chuck to talk through his motion at this point.
Should I read it, Aubrey?
It's probably good to read it and then open up the...
I'll go ahead and read it and then see if there's any questions. Okay. Whereas on 11 December 2008, the ICANN Board approved Resolution 2008-12-11-02, seeking a recommendation on how to incorporate the legitimate interests of individual Internet users in the GNSO in constructive yet non-duplicative ways, and requesting that the recommendation should be submitted no later than 24 January 2009 for consideration by the board. Whereas in an email message to the GNSO Council list dated 20 January 2009, the ICANN Vice President, Policy Development, clarified that the 11 December resolution is an effort to help the board identify a strategic solution that balances ALAC at-large and GNSO opportunities for all user and registrant stakeholders. Whereas the Working Group on GNSO Council Restructuring Report sent to the ICANN Board of Directors on 25 July 2008 recommended that the non-contracted party user house should be open to membership of all interested parties that use or provide services for the Internet, with the obvious exclusion of the contracted parties, and should explicitly not be restricted to domain registrants as recommended by the BGC, and that such recommendation was made in response to the suggestion of the ALAC liaison to the council. Whereas the GNSO council chair previously contacted the ALAC chair and the GNSO ALAC liaison to discuss this topic, and the final whereas, the potential members of the two GNSO council non-contracted party stakeholder groups have been tasked with submitting proposed stakeholder group charters to the ICANN board prior to the board meeting on 6 March 2009. Resolved, First resolve is the council requests the GNSO Council ALAC Liaison in consultation with the ALAC Chair to first determine whether the ALAC and at-large community have any concerns with regard to the recommendation that membership in the non-contracted party user house would be open to individual internet users in addition to domain name registrants, and if so, to communicate those concerns to the GNSO Council as soon as practical. Number two, determine whether the ALAC and at-large community would like the GNSO to identify some non-commercial user representatives, especially individual users, who would be willing to work with the ALAC and at-large community to develop a recommendation regarding the board's request that could be forwarded to the NCUC for their consideration in developing a stakeholder group charter and to the board for action on GNSO improvement recommendations. And fourth, provide weekly progress reports to the council list regarding the above. And the second part of the resolution is the council directs the council chair to apologize to the board that it failed to meet the board-established deadline of 24 January, inform the board that the GNSO is awaiting information from the ALAC, is willing to, in cooperation with non-commercial users, to identify non-commercial user representatives, especially individual users, who would be willing to work with the ALAC and at-large community to develop a recommendation, and will promptly consider next steps and respond to the board as quickly as possible after requested information is received from the ALAC, as well as any recommendation that may be developed by the ALAC and at-large community.
Okay, thank you. Just to know, and perhaps Alan will want to speak in terms of what's been happening in the ALAC in regard to this. ALAC has, though, prepared an initial statement or a letter from the chair of the ALAC to the chair of the board of ICANN that I think covers some of the issues and questions we're asking. Alan, do you want to add anything before I open up the floor in general for questions and comments?
A couple of things. One is a question. In the first part of the resolve, in the first resolve, it says, do we have any concerns with the recommendation that the non-contracted party user house be open to individual users? And I'm not quite, in addition to registrants, I'm not quite sure what the term open is. Is the question asking, do we want individual users to be part of the house, of stakeholder groups, or if there should be some less direct way of doing it? Because
basically, Alan, and you know, because you were on the planning team or whichever team it was that worked on the, I guess it was not the planning team anyway, you recall that the board recommendation is that the non-commercial users house just include a registrants. And as you'll recall, you actually made the recommendation on the group that was working on the restructure that you individual users in addition to registrants be included in that house, and that's all this is doing.
Okay, so it's not asking the pointed and politically charged question of should individuals be allowed to be members of the stakeholder group. It's a much more generic question.
Yes.
Okay. The second thing I'll point out is that although most of this resolution and the board resolution talks about the non-contracted party's house, the last resolve is talking only about the non-commercial. Is that intentional or?
The last part of the resolution, let's see, which one? The formatting on the one that's on
the second bullet under resolve.
Okay, yeah, okay, so the council directs the council chair, okay, to apologize, and then is awaiting information from the ALAC. Is willing to cooperate with non-commercial users to identify non-commercial. Is that the part you're talking about? Well, notice that non-commercial users is not capitalized. That was intentional. Any non-commercial users, you know, that could be part of the NCUC. They could be not part of the NCUC.
No, I understand that the point is it is excluding involvement of commercial users, that is, the other stakeholders group of that house.
As I recall, and maybe staff can help me on this, I think, did the board motion focus on the non-commercial side only? I believe it did.
It made a reference at the end, but the beginning part of the motion, just as the beginning part of this one, is talking about the non-contracted party's house.
You have a suggested edit. It'd certainly be a friendly one, I think. So,
I would just remove the word non-commercial in the two places that is used, and therefore not restricted to non-commercial users.
Well, would it be? Let me ask you this question. I probably don't have any problem with that, but if the ALAC does want some user representatives, are the ALAC members that will be working on this going to be non-commercial? Would it be okay if they're commercial? That's the only reason that was specified that way.
Non-commercial has certainly been the focus, but I don't think it is the sole focus. So
have commercial in ALAC, correct?
It's never really been specified. I think the answer is yes, but it's never really been discussed.
Okay.
There's never really been an attempt to break out commercial versus non-commercial.
I certainly don't have any problem with remote.
Okay, where would you want the two changes? Can you tell me?
In the second part of resolve.
Just about the middle of the second bullet. There's two uses of the word non-commercial.
So it says
okay,
is
so
waiting.
Willing in cooperation with users to identify user representatives.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah.
And those are the two instances.
Yeah.
What about in the first resolve? This is Tim.
Is there one there too?
Determine whether the ALAC and at-large would like the GNSO to identify some non-commercial user representatives, especially individual users.
I would remove that one also.
Okay.
I'm not really trying to change the overall focus. I think the main contentious part has been the non-commercial side, and certainly the larger part of our focus is going to be on that. But I don't think it's solely restricted to it.
So there are three places, and
yeah.
I'm okay. You know,
I guess it's Mike Rosenberg. I got a question.
Can I start taking a cue? Mike, you're the first in it. Others
Tim would
want
like
to be in the queue.
One other comment: the ALAC is generally amenable to this resolution.
Okay, I had Mike. Who else?
Tim.
Anyone else? Christina.
Tony Harris.
Christina and Tony Harris. Anyone else? Okay, Mike.
It's really a question. I just kind of want to know whether these distinctions are going to be decided. Is that what the PPSC or the OSC are working on, or what, to decide, you know, whether commercial voices are coming through the ALAC, or I'm a little bit confused at why Alan is removing non-commercial from this when changes to the commercial side of the house hadn't really been discussed by the board. At least in reference to this motion.
Mike, this particular motion really has to do with the restructuring rather than the GNSO improvements that the OSC and the PPSC are tasked with dealing with. You recall that we kind of did that separately. Now, I'm not sure that answers your question about the non-commercial, but I think it is helpful to separate this motion, which is related to GNSO restructure, and keep it separate from the GNSO improvements that the OSC and PPSC are working on, and their work teams.
Okay, well, that's a good clarification. I mean, I guess that makes it all the more important to understand now what we're doing. And I guess, again, I'm not sure why we should be striking non-commercial where it is in the motion now.
This is Denise. Can I be in the queue, please?
Certainly, Denise. Okay, Tim.
A couple of questions. I guess first was that we had, I think it might have been Chuck actually, proposed at one time that maybe we would, as a council at some point, reconsider the question of including all users, not just registrants, and whether that was still the sense of the council. Because I think at the time that the working group on the restructuring was going on, it was pretty, they had kind of a tight deadline. What they had to do was pretty ominous in the first place. And, you know, certainly appreciating the ALAC liaison's recommendation that was included. But I don't know if we could say that, you know, the council as a whole necessarily. And I'm not sure that matters right now with the way this motion is worded. I just wanted to throw that out there. And maybe it's something that we weigh. And if I understand this motion correctly, what this will do is we'll get back some comments, recommendations from ALAC that the council will consider, not just necessarily the NCUC, but the council as a whole may have an opportunity to comment and add further illumination of their own thoughts or whatever on this before it goes to the board. Is that correct?
Could I respond to that, Aubrey?
Please.
First of all, I think, and I don't have it in front of me now, Tim, but I believe in our motion, restructure motion that we sent to the board, that we did recommend that users be included. So I think that already happened. Now, that does not prevent us, in my opinion, from going back and revisiting that decision, and I think we probably would if the ALAC came back and said, no, we really don't want to go that way. We could very well, you know, retrace our steps there. Does that help?
Yeah, just as long as that's not necessarily, not assuming that's a done deal.
Well, it's done, I think, in the sense that it was in our the recommendation that we sent to the board. We did include, you know, say, hey, we'd like to include users there, but that doesn't mean we can't change it.
Right, right. And I think that, you know, the council as a whole was looking at the whole thing. I don't think anyone was, or at least I think for my part, I wasn't necessarily picking out fine details and saying,
yeah.
Oh, well,
okay.
I have a little issue with this, so I think I'm going to hold up the whole thing for that. You know, probably wasn't really a thought at the time. But And so then, Chuck, and is that the second part of my question? Was that pretty much the feeling that this will produce, you know, some good recommendations or proposal or whatever from the ALAC, but it's not necessarily we either accept that or not, but that there could be further input from the council itself or in the
sure,
other
sure, especially on the first part of the motion, because what we're really asking, hey, you know, Alan, I'll just use his name, Alan obviously was the one that recommended the user involvement, and the restructure working group, you know, supported that. But if the ALAC now has, you know, after further consideration, you know, doesn't want to go that way, we want them to tell us that. And then of course, that would be a council issue to revisit that issue. That's not a non-commercial group issue.
All right, but I'm saying even if they do want to go that way, that the particular method or mechanism, whatever, with which that will go forward, will still be open to further discussion.
Yeah, except we ought to do that right away, because the board was hoping at their next meeting to have this kind of information on February 3rd. So if there's and we can treat that separately than this motion, but if there is interest in changing that, we need to get on that right away.
Well, I know, but ALAC needs time to respond. We need time to consider it. I don't, you know, I appreciate the need to keep moving forward. But on the other hand, the devil's in the details, and I don't want to just keep moving hastily on this thing, later rethinking it, and, you know, I'd like the time to be able to really thoroughly examine what's being proposed and to consider all the implications, et cetera. I'm sure the DC and the other members of the non-contractor party house feel the same way.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't do that if you want to do it. I'm just saying we should start doing it now, so while the ALAC is doing their thing, we should be considering that issue so that we minimize the delay.
Avery, could you put me in the queue?
Alan. Yeah, I've got you. At the moment, I've got Christina, Tony Harris, Denise, and then Alan. Okay, Tim?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Christina?
I think the answers to Tim's question also answer mine, but I want to make sure that I'm absolutely clear on this. With regard to the second point in the first resolve clause, the one that starts with determine whether the ALAC and at-large community would like the GNSO to identify da 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 da. Am I correct in understanding, first, that the intent of the motion is that if they come back and say, no, we don't really want you guys to do that, that we don't consider that to be the end of it? And if I'm correct in that regard, and again, I think this may have been what was said in response to Tim's question, I'd like to make sure that we have some kind of language in here that makes that clear.
Did you want me to respond to that, Aubrey, or?
Please do. And also at the moment, please take a look at online, because I'm not sure I caught all the changes. So there might be a non-commercial in that second bullet yet I didn't get rid of.
I'll let Alan do that.
Okay.
It's his concern. But, Christina, yeah, I mean, if they did come back and with that kind of position, I think the council needs to look at it again. In fact, like Tim said, I mean, if there's actually interest in revisiting that whole idea anyway, regardless of the ALAC's response, then we should go ahead and start doing that. Do you have a specific language change that you would suggest there?
No, but I can come up with one.
Okay, go ahead, and you can work on that, I guess,
sure,
while we're going through the queue.
Okay. Tony.
Yes, I'll be very brief. Actually, I probably missed something in the previous discussions, but I'm a little confused about the concern to include users as well as registrants in the GNSO. Since we have a constituency which by definition is the non-commercial user constituency, I think that is the name, and we don't have a constituency which is defines itself as representing registrants right now, so how can we get something as well as registrants in the GNSO when we don't have any registrants right now? It just seems a little confusing, but I may have missed something in the previous discussion.
Can I respond to that quickly?
Please.
Yeah. The issue is in the BGC proposal, they explicitly recommended changing the constitution of the GNSO to specify registrants instead of users. And the recommendation that the working group made was essentially to revert to the current definition in the bylaws and maintain the word users.
Oh, I see. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Denise.
Yes, I just wanted to clarify a couple of points or questions that were raised earlier. The at-large structure was created to include both non-commercial and commercial individual user groups that were interested in participating in ICANN, although the majority of the individual user groups involved certainly are non-commercial in nature. There are commercial-oriented user groups as well. And I understand that the board resolution on this has caused confusion. And as you pointed out, Aubrey, it is difficult to pull some of these issues apart. But since the GNSO's working group was broadly representative and made this recommendation for inclusion of individual users, and since the business constituency representatives during that time also pointed out that this involved commercial individual users, the board felt it that it did not want to just limit or narrow the focus of requesting a recommendation on overall the strategic and the structure of individual user involvement within ICANN and particularly within the GNSO. But the resolution also recognizes that given that the majority of participants in at-large are non-commercial individual user groups and the non-commercial stakeholder groups need to be created, that's a particularly pressing issue that needs to be resolved.
Okay, thank you. Alan.
To clarify, the ALAC has not changed its position from the original GNSO working group. We have made an initial response to the board almost within their deadline, which reiterated that we have not changed our mind that users should have an involvement in the GNSO in some way. We have committed to get a more detailed response to the board by the 20th of February, which essentially is almost within time for the Mexico City board meeting.
You okay?
We have somebody that needs to mute their phone. Okay, please go on, Alan.
So we will send a response to the board. Of course, if there are GNSO people who have been identified to work with us, they will be involved in that response, and the response will go back to the GNSO in parallel, of course. So the GNSO can, at that point, adopt it as something their own or simply acknowledge that it's been received. That's up to the GNSO.
Okay, Alan, I have a quick question. Is
sure.
it possible for the GNSO Council to receive a copy of what was sent?
I
know a copy was sent to me, but I wasn't given permission to forward it on.
I should have forwarded it.
Okay.
You're welcome to do it, or I'll do it.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak at this point? And also, Alan, is the motion correct?
I think so.
And
I can't find
the
anything else.
Second, just want to make sure that the second sub-bullet of the first resolve still has would like the GNSO to identify some non-commercial user representatives.
Hi, Irene. Sorry, just a quick comment, and not specifically about the motion itself, but as Alan has said that this working group or this group to work on the response of the issues has been formed with ALAC. We in NCUC would like very much to contribute or to be part of this group in preparing or in observing the works, and I would like to know if it's possible and if the council endorses participation of NCUC in the works that ALAC will be commissioned to do by the motion.
My interpretation, people can correct me, is certainly that the NCUC is welcome to participate in this effort.
Okay. Avery, if I may interject, this motion has changed since the original version that Chuck posted, because the original one said to develop a recommendation to the NCUC, and that
yes.
phrase has now been dropped. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or am I imagining this?
No, it's not.
To develop a recommendation.
What you're saying. Yeah, that is true. It looks like something went missing that wasn't supposed to be.
I like it better this way.
Well, I'm okay with that. I knew the NCUC was working on the stakeholder group charter. I'm also okay if it says user representatives. Obviously, I think they're the ones that are taking the lead on that, so that's why we're in there.
As I pointed out on the list, it's still there. It's in that what is now the second sub-bullet of the first bullet.
Okay, that's the one I was confirming. Needed to still come out.
No, but there's an NCUC there also, not only a non-commercial.
Look forward to the NCUC for their consideration.
See, I have a problem with the people being sent by the GNSO being NCUC people if the recommendation is then going to be a recommendation to the NCUC. That doesn't make sense to me.
So you're saying you're basically offering another amendment?
I'm not sure.
That's forwarded to the GNSO for consideration?
The form of this resolution changed when I did a refresh. There's a lot of sub-bullets that weren't before.
They were there. They were just not showing up.
It's formatted much better now.
It is, but I'm having trouble seeing the differences.
Yeah.
Basically, the bullets are the same as they were. They're just standing out more.
If we don't forward it to the NCUC, Alan, who would we forward it to? The intent is to forward it to those working on the charter, so we could, change NCUC to those working on the charter, but essentially it's the same thing.
I believe. Now, if somebody knows somebody else working on a stakeholder group charter... Well, there is, in fact, another
yes.
other one floating around.
Another stakeholder group?
Indeed.
Or another constituency? Those are two different things.
I understand. I said it properly.
Oh, so there's somebody else working on a non-commercial stakeholder group charter?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of that. So maybe we should word this to say to those working...
to the appropriate parties.
yes, that's fine.
Okay, and there's another non-commercial just above it that has to
okay,
go
so
over,
that's
or at least above it.
And forward it to the appropriate groups.
Yep. Now I'm confused. Who are the groups working on the non-commercial stakeholder group charter?
There is one which has been developed by NCUC in consultation with a number of other people.
Yeah, for sure.
And there is yet another one that has been suggested by... I guess
one of the prospective constituencies.
Yes.
which is actually already already put up. It's already public in terms of being a prospective constituency. And that's the protection of individuals or something like that.
Yeah. And that's a stakeholder group charter?
They've proposed both. They're in the process of proposing both a new constituency and an alternate stakeholder group charter, if I understand correctly.
I believe that's the case.
Yeah, I think it is.
So I would suggest that in that second sub-bullet under the first resolve that we say, after regarding the board's request, that could be forwarded to those...
I change it to the appropriate groups.
The only problem I have with that, Aubrey, and maybe it's not an issue, I certainly won't make it an issue if others don't think it is that who are the appropriate groups? The way I worded this motion was to be very careful to make it clear that it's non-commercial users that are responsible for developing the stakeholder group charter, not the GNSO, and that's if everybody's okay with the way you did it, I can certainly live with that. I just don't want there to be any confusion, anybody thinking that the GNSO Council is trying to take over the role of developing a stakeholder group charter, which we're not.
As I understand it, we've been asked to submit some opinions or thoughts to the board, which may or may not be taken into account by those writing charters. The board may ignore everything we said.
We are supposed to submit some recommendations regarding the involvement of users in the user's house.
Correct.
Okay, that's true. But this particular statement in the motion is dealing with if there are some recommendations in that regard, those who are developing the charters need to know that too. That's why I included that, so that when they can consider that however they like when they're developing the charters.
I mean, I guess I think it's sort of a moot point because it'll be made public.
That's right.
And it's you know, it'll be there for everyone to read. So.
And it's a bit presumptuous of us to assume the board will listen to whatever we say, and therefore it will be something that will have to be honored by the stakeholder groups.
Well, I think that's a good presumption that the board will listen.
Perhaps, but...
Okay, is there any objection to... Do you object to the appropriate groups and just leaving it at that?
I have no problem with that.
And you, Chuck, it's
that's
a friendly
fine.
Amendment on your
that's,
motion.
That's fine.
I'm
okay.
Not,
any
I'm not
other discussion at this point?
Just one brief comment, Aubrey.
Yeah.
It's kind of helpful to me personally to see how much we're struggling with this motion because I had a terrible time writing it.
I think it's only changed a couple words, but I think you did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, is there any further discussion before I call a vote on this?
Christina, I thought, was going to propose another edit. Is
I
that
am.
Oh, that's right.
Sibling.
Sorry, Christina.
Sibling. I'm trying to come up with something that's not overly wordy. But the gist of it would be to add at the end of that particular bullet I was raising a question about. And
which bullet, first of all?
The second one under the first resolve clause.
Okay, so that's one we're talking about forwarding.
Would like, yeah, that one. And if the ALEC and at-large community would not like the GNSO to identify some non, or if we can, just say, and if not, for the GNSO Council to take further action to develop its course of action. I don't know. Just something, you know, so a placeholder so that we can come back to this. I'm not wedded to those words at all.
How about the GNSO Council will reconsider the issue?
Correct. Absolutely. Perfect.
Now, Christina, I had thought, and maybe I just totally missed it, that went with the first sub-bullet under the first motion. So in other words, it was this whole idea of user involvement.
Well, I understood the first bullet to mean that we want to find out if AWAC and the at-large community have concerns, and if so, what they are. And then we also want to find out, do they want us to identify some non-commercial user or whatever we've now got in terms of user representatives? Who'd be willing to work with them. And they may come back, and they have the prerogative to come back and say, thanks, but no.
Right.
And if we're not willing to kind of leave it at that. In other words, if they come back and say, thanks, but no, and there's at least some view that the council may want to weigh in itself or develop its own view, that I just want to make sure that we've left ourselves that option.
That's fine.
Okay, then how about making it clear, because you're really trying to say, if I put a third bullet in that category, let's just say, if in either case the ALAC or at-large community do not accept the proposal, the GNSO will reconsider the issue.
Perfect.
Avery, I'll point out, I don't foresee us saying no, but we're, of course, not making a commitment that we are going to accept everything that these people say.
Right.
So the GNSO may want to consider what it does, period.
And it could be the GNSO may reconsider the issue to not. Does that matter to you, Christina, whether it's will or may?
Let's leave it as may. I'm fine with may unless somebody feels strongly about it.
Okay, I am going to save it so anybody that wants to look at it can. Okay, it is saved. And so basically we've removed the non-commercials. We've changed that from forwarding to NCUC to forwarding to appropriate groups. And we've added, if in either case the ALEC or large community do not accept the proposal, the GNSO Council may reconsider the issue.
Why have we removed non-commercials again? I thought Denise's comments even reinforced that they should stay in there because that's what the board is focusing on with this.
So I understood. I thought Denise said that it was open either way on the board's proposal, on the board's motion.
Denise, you want to help us?
I'm sorry. What was the question?
Mike, repeat your.
Isn't the board's resolution focusing on non-commercial users here?
The board resolution recognizes that individual users can have implications for both the commercial stakeholder group and the non-commercial stakeholder group. The resolution goes on to recognize, however, that a majority, that the most pressing element of this issue relates to the construction or creation of the non-commercial stakeholder group. So they didn't want to exclude other parties in the GNSO that wanted to offer recommendations that apply to, for example, commercial individual users and how they're broadly represented in ICANN, but went on to recognize that this issue needs to be resolved so the non-commercial stakeholder group and its charter can go forward. Did that answer your question?
I think you're saying that non-commercial should come out of this motion before us or not?
Where in the motion?
So the non-commercial is specified several times in the motion, and Alan and I think others want to remove that to make it a more broad inquiry, so specifically then include commercial users. And I'm just wondering, you know, as the BC rep, what that means for us. What exactly?
Can I comment on that, Aubrey?
Certainly, and then Denise also, if you can give a clarification if necessary.
And Aubrey, this is Tim. I'd like to meet you too.
Even if it doesn't say non-commercial, that doesn't mean that we're required to find some users who are commercial. You certainly would have the opportunity.
The way it's been changed, but you wouldn't have to, I don't believe. It doesn't require that.
Okay.
Okay, Tim? Or Denise, did you want to add anything? Or are you comfortable?
No, I'm happy to answer any of the questions I might have for you.
Okay, thank you. Tim?
And so, again, this is, I just want to make sure I'm clear about what we're moving to do here, and that is to just ask the ALAC and that large community whether they're still okay with it including users or in addition to registrants. I mean, that's the only question we're asking here and the only thing we're expecting back.
I think we're also asking them if they'd like us to identify some user representatives, especially individual users, who would be willing to work with them.
To help flesh out what it means to include users.
Well, that's my question, because I didn't see that in here. That now
that's
we're talking
the second
about
bullet.
Second
sub-bullet of the first bullet.
Yeah, second sub-bullet of the second.
basically determine whether the ALEC and a large community would like the GNSO to identify some user representatives, especially individual users, who would be willing to work with the ALEC and at-large community to develop a recommendation regarding the board's request that could be forwarded to the appropriate groups for the consideration in developing a stakeholder group charter and to the board for action on GNSO improvement recommendations.
And, Tim, the board not only asks whether users should be involved, but for some recommendations as to how that might best happen.
Okay, well, that's not what's clear in here until just now. I mean, when you look at this, it says, you know, the first part of that, it's just, you know, determine whether the ALAC has any concerns with the recommendation of membership of the non-contracted party user, healthy open individual internet users, and to communicate those concerns to the council and determine whether they would like any help in coming to that conclusion and making their recommendation. And I don't know if it refers to that, but now you're talking about this including a recommendation as to how they will be included. And is that clear with all the other stakeholders?
That language has been there since the beginning.
I know it has, but it hasn't been clear until just now, at least to me.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
That the recommendation referred to something other than what it started out talking about.
Yeah, I think the first part was basically asked, going back to ALEC and checking whether that recommendation they made to the working group was indeed still their recommendation. And then second, did they want to work with some user representatives on figuring out what it meant? Obviously, if they don't want to do the first, then the second doesn't happen. But they could want to do the first, but not do the second.
Okay. So I guess my question is, why wouldn't the other constituencies within the non-contracted party house want to be involved in that, or are they planning to be?
I think it's unspecified at this point. They could or they couldn't. It's their choice.
Nothing prohibits them from putting a response in direct to the board directly also.
Okay.
And one other question, clarification, I guess. Please.
So, will the board, just let me finish up one other question.
Oh, okay, sorry. I thought you were done. Sorry.
So, will the contracted side of the house be allowed to, or be, will their comments or input be considered as well?
I suppose that the way this is worded, if you were able to identify some user representatives, especially individual users who would be willing to work with them, that doesn't seem precluded. I don't know that it's likely, but I don't think it's precluded.
Well, even if it's not in that particular, in the particular initiative to come up with a recommendation that input be accepted and included from the other constituencies if they so choose.
Tim, it might be, I think I understand where you're going, and because we ultimately have to respond to the board after, and we were saying here that we'll do that after we hear back from the ALAC, when we respond back to the board, if the council had some other suggestion that we support in addition to what we may go along with from the ALAC, we could certainly do that. I'm not sure it needs to be in this motion, though.
All right, as long as we're not precluding that, that's my main
concern.
No, there's no preclusion, I think, at all in this.
You notice it says the very last bullet, the easy one to find, we'll promptly consider next steps. So we haven't defined what those would be. So it could include what you're talking about if there was a desire to do that.
All right.
Okay, Mike?
Okay, why do we keep saying ALAC and at-large community, or ALAC or at-large community?
Two different things.
Right, ALAC has been very careful all the way through this process to think up. There is an ALAC, which is the proper name of an organization that's got its defined subparts, and there is also an at-large community that is beyond the structured ALAC. Did I get that right?
Yeah, well, okay, fine. How are we consulting with that broader structure? What are we expecting to hear from them? Who has authority to ALAC?
I if I may comment, I think the GNSO in this point is wording the motion in a non-controversial way, not presuming to say who is going to be speaking on behalf of these people. So that clause is worded in a rather generic way. In fact, the ALAC has already put together a group including a number of ALAC members and a number of non-ALAC members who will be working on our side of this project.
And Alan, isn't it correct that the ALAC does have a liaison function with the broader at-large community?
Well, the ALAC is, as you know, perhaps can be considered at the top or bottom of the pyramid, the top of the pyramid of the overall at-large community. The at-large community is made up of local organizations and regional organizations, and which are brought together within ICANN with the at-large advisory committee.
I think
so
part of it.
So we're part
of
the we are part of the at-large community, and in fact the representative to ICANN of the at-large community.
Can I ask a question? So that means someone could be a member of a RALO without being a member of ALAC.
Oh, certainly.
Exactly. Okay.
And I think what we're trying to clarify here, keep in mind we've got some history that we're dealing with here. There was a point where really all we had was the ALAC, and so any opinions that came from them was from that committee. And the point that's trying to be emphasized here, even though maybe it's technically unnecessary any longer, is that we're really looking for something from the broader at-large community, not just that committee.
Okay, is that okay, Mike?
It's the difference between the GNSO and the GNSO Council.
This raises the question of how do we get that input and how do we know that it's representative?
Well, I guess it's similar to, if I can enter, that, and I think Alan just said it, it's kind of like the GNSO Council and the GNSO, and if some other group wants to get the views of the GNSO Council and the GNSO, they say that, and then, you know, we go out to, well, not we, but you all go out to your constituencies and get the further, but ALAC is like is to the GNSO Council as GNSO is to ALAC, if I said that right.
No. Yeah, I think you used ALAC for one of the ones that should have been at large.
Okay, sorry.
Anyway, I don't want to belabor it.
Okay. Any other questions or issues before I call for a vote on this?
All right, Carlos.
Yes, Carlos.
Yes. So now that we have changed the wording and we have removed the NTUC in order to have appropriate group, just to clarify that this working group that ALAC and at-large community are going to put up to discuss or are in development to discuss individual users. So I believe now it seems pretty reasonable for us to have someone from NTUC or working together that in this group, or
I would expect someone.
I would expect even more than someone.
So
yeah.
Just to make it clear, because we have sent a couple of emails trying to make to bridge this connection and to have NTUC following and participating in the discussion. So fine.
Yeah. No. I think as soon as ALAC responds to us by saying yes, we would like you to identify some user representatives, I think NTUC is definitely among the first representatives that would be identified.
Okay. I need to point out we've committed to having a reply to the board within 3 weeks. So
okay.
The timeline here is tight.
How quickly can you get back to us, Alan?
Very quickly.
Good.
Okay. So, anyone else need to ask a question or make a comment before I call for a vote? Any objections to doing an A's and an I's and nay's vote? Okay, then all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions? Okay, thank you. The motion has carried unanimously. Thank you, Chuck, for the work on it, and Alan and everyone for the good discussion of it. Moving on in the agenda. The next thing we had, basically the next two items, but the next one we had was post-expiration domain name recovery PDP. Now, we had originally talked about having a charter and then doing a vote on a PDP at this meeting. Things are not quite at that level yet. We have received the staff response We have not discussed that staff response yet at all, and we have not yet put together a drafting team or anything to create a motion, to create a working group, to basically decide how we want to handle this. What I wanted to start with is asking someone from staff, specifically Marika, if she's here and willing, to basically give a quick walkthrough on the staff response to those questions.
Yes, of course, Ivory, no problem. Would you like me to read through the questions and answers, or would you like me to try to give a more abbreviated version?
I'm assuming that everybody had a chance to reading, so I think if you just talk through it, refer to the questions, refer to the answers, but definitely I don't think you need to do a full read-through.
Okay, perfect. Question one related to the issue of a transfer of a domain name in RGP and the recommendation that was made in the issues report on for the GNSO to consider this in the context of the IRTT PDPs that are still upcoming. And the question was, is it recommended that this would be added to the requirements for IRTT PDPC? And basically in this note we outlined that taking into account that considering a transfer of a domain name in RGP would probably imply a number of technical and operational issues that might be better suited in the context of the transfer policy, that staff would consider this a good alternative to consider for the GNSO. But this does not preclude, the possibility to consider this in an overall PDP dealing with the other post-expiration domain name recovery issues. A related question to this was on if the GNSO would decide indeed to add this to one of the IRTT PDPs, how this would be accomplished. And this basically could be done in the form of a motion in which the GNSO Council would state that it would like to see this issue added to one of the PDPs. And then following that, the charter of this PDP would include this issue. So question two related...
First of all, before you go on to the next one,
sorry.
Were there any questions or clarifications that anybody wanted to ask on that particular issue? No? Okay, thank you. Please go on.
Okay, question two related to the recommendation that we mentioned that certain issues could be addressed in an other form than a PDP. And the question was, how is it envisioned that this would happen if not via a PDP? And this is specifically related to some of the provisions of the contract relating to visibility on websites and information, availability of information. So in this answer, we outlined that in this context, compliance efforts could be considered in combination with information and educational activities. And we've given some examples of activities that compliance is considering in this area. Other ideas could be the organization of a workshop with interested parties to discuss further details around that. Another thing that was mentioned in the report is that ICANN and perhaps the GNSO could work together with consumer organizations to have more clarity on the information that's provided and the content of these policies and processes. The question related to that was as well, how could this be accomplished? But basically, these are more staff initiatives and do not necessarily require council action. Are there any further questions
on that? Okay.
Question three related to a specific clause of the RAA 3.7.5. I'll just read it out. At the conclusion of the registration period, failure by or on behalf of the registered name holder to consent that the registration be renewed within the time specified in a second notice or reminder shall, in the absence of extenuating circumstances, result in cancellation of the registration by the end of the auto-renew grace period. And the question was whether this requirement is being enforced. If not, why not? But the compliance department confirmed that this requirement is consistently being enforced on the basis of complaints being received. It was noted here that in certain cases complaints have been deemed unfounded as the registered name holder or someone acting on behalf of the registered name holder can renew a registration, which is not always clear to the registrant. another question related to this is as well, like if registrars don't cancel the registration at the end of a period, is it then in conflict with the policy? But we clarified here as well that it's that the RIA specified that it's the registered name holder or someone acting on behalf of the registered name holder that does not consent to renewal. And here we've pointed out as well that there has been an advisory by ICANN in 2004 that pointed to modifications in registration agreements that resulted in the registrar obtaining the consent of the registrant to auction or transfer a domain name registration to a third party. So that's question three. Are there any further
questions
on
clarifications on three?
Yeah, I have a question on this. So is AILAC good with that answer? That doesn't seem really to me to answer the concern that was raised.
I can't speak on behalf of AILAC. I'm not good with that answer.
Okay, good. I'm not really good.
I suspect if I asked the question, AILAC wouldn't be good either, but the question hasn't been asked.
Yeah, I mean,
probably worth asking.
It's just they're basically pointing to a place, 4 years ago now, that where, the RAA appears to have been loosely interpreted. It's not breached. And, we should have a chance to discuss that, I think.
Well, one of the main reasons for requesting the issues report is because of that clause and how registrars and resellers have been treating it. So no, we're not happy with the end result of what has happened.
Well, I don't,
that's why we raised the whole issue.
Well, Aubrey, please add me to the queue.
Not the end result.
Okay, I have Mike speaking. Who asked to be in the queue? I didn't catch
Chuck.
Your voice. Chuck. Okay. Gee, I should recognize your voice. Okay, go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, I was actually one of the ones that asked a lot of these questions, okay? And I actually am okay with the answers. It gave me the clarification I needed, and let me explain that, but let me be fairly blunt in that. They were really honest questions on my part because I thought the deletion policy should be covering some of this. But in essence, I think, and I'll let Marika correct me if I'm wrong, many registration agreements that registrars offer to their customers have provisions in them that were added to allow other things to happen besides deleting. And basically, in registering the name, the registrants are agreeing to that. And that, in essence, is why sometimes they don't go to to a point where they have to be deleted, because they have authorized another action, and those actions vary whenever they agreed to the agreement at the beginning. And of course, Tim, of course, feel free to correct me if I've got that wrong. But so in my opinion, then, okay, is that it makes sense for this thing to for us to initiate a PDP and start working on this whole issue. I thought maybe the deletion policy would deal with some of the issues, and it apparently doesn't.
Alan, can I get in?
Oh. Alan, anyone else want to take your cue? Okay, go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, maybe I misunderstood Mike's question. Am I okay with this? I'm not disagreeing with Marika that this is not a compliance issue. That's why we raised it as an issues report, because we believe the rules have to be changed. So we're not claiming that the majority of these are compliance issues. There certainly are some compliance issues around, but the fact that the name is being taken over by the registrar or by a third party is not a compliance issue.
So what you're saying, Alan, is that you're not comfortable with the things the way they are, and so therefore we should proceed with a PDP.
Which is the reason we initiated the whole thing.
And
yes, certainly.
I understood you differently.
Yeah.
I thought you were not comfortable with staff's response.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you. And any other questions on? We're still on three, right? Any other questions on three? Okay, four, please.
Question four related to the deletion of a domain name following the termination by the registrant of a registration agreement. And the question was whether this requirement is being enforced. we indicated this requirement is being enforced, but it should be noted again that this is the registration not renewed by the registered name holder or someone acting on behalf of the registered name holder. A related question to this is, wouldn't registrars be required to cancel or delete a registration in the absence of extenuating circumstances? Again, when the when the registered name holder or the registrar terminates a registration agreement, if not, why not? But in this case, we indicated that the respective registration agreement would need to be analyzed as a termination doesn't fall under the expired domain name deletion policy, as it only deals with expired domain names.
Okay, thank you. Any questions, comments?
It's Christina. I have a question, actually, that goes back. Well, it covers 4 and 3. With regard to the statements that the requirements are being enforced, is the enforcement done solely through or in connection with investigation of complaints, or are there compliance audits that cover these points?
I would need to double check with compliance, but I think this is mainly related to complaints being received.
Okay, any other questions on any of these now? Okay, in which case I think that brings us to sort of what do we do next. Now, I think it's been working very well with putting together drafting teams to come up with charters and to come up with the motions that we take in regard to doing a PDP. We need to vote on a PDP. We then, if we haven't decided to do a working group or put a working group in as part of the PDP vote, you know, we still, by bylaws, need to vote on task forces and such. Is there any discussion or issue on putting together a drafting team to decide how we proceed next? And also, looking at that, you know, we had talked about this meeting being the one where we would, you know, make the decision on the PDP. So I'd like, if at all possible, to not put it off more than one, maximum 2 meetings. Now, we only have one more telephone meeting before we then have the face-to-face meeting. And if we voted on a PDP at the face-to-face meeting, it would mean doing it at the Wednesday open session, since that's our only voting meeting. During the face-to-face meetings in Mexico City. So I guess I'd like to open up and get some comments on putting together the drafting team, comments on whether we could put together a drafting team that would have something ready in 2 weeks so that we could vote on it in 3 weeks. Is that an insane, optimistic thing to do? And I should just plan on this being something that we handle in Mexico City. Comments?
So
anyway.
Can I rephrase your question, Aubrey?
Please do.
Is there a volunteer or two that would like to be on this drafting team?
I'll certainly be on the team, it's Alan.
Somebody want to help Alan?
I said I'd be on the team.
I mean, if we're going to do a PDP, if we're going to charter a working group, we certainly need to have, you know, people that are willing to write the charter up
and
to think through the issues,
well,
and also to make the recommendation, a drafting team to decide. You know, one of the issues was, do we want to put some of these things in, you know, the next set of IRTP? How do we want to deal with this? And it's really something council needs to come up with. Excuse me? I heard a very faint voice, and I couldn't tell whether it was something intentional or something not.
I'll be a louder voice, Alan. To answer your direct question, yes, I think 2 weeks is a little bit on the dreaming side.
Okay. So therefore, I'm more than willing to include this as one of the things that gets voted on in the Wednesday of ICANN week. But I still need to know who it is that's interested in working on it from the council, and not just the ALEC, but liaison to the council. So he's very much like a member of the council. Okay, well, we're going to have to keep looking, because obviously we need someone. We need more than just someone.
To volunteer people who are absent, huh? I have a couple in mind.
Yeah, well, we should talk to them. You know, maybe get them later tonight. You know, but yeah, we'll just have to try, and I guess it's up to you and I, Chuck, to see if we can't convince some people who haven't been doing a lot of the heavy lifting lately to get involved and do some drafting teamwork on this particular issue. Any other questions or issues on that? Obviously, we can't move ahead on this issue without a motion on how we want to move ahead. I don't find myself in the position of wanting to craft one alone or with Alan, but I guess if nothing else happens, it will end up being Chuck and I and Alan, simply because we're kind of like the default here. But we will look for others. Any other comments before I move to the next issue? Okay. I just want to say I do have the feeling that there's sentiment in the council for moving ahead with a PDP and probably with a working group. If that's not a correct sentiment, please let me know.
Aubrey, would it be inappropriate to see if one of the staff team members could work with Alan to do that? And it's not a definite
decision. I would be expecting one of them to work with Alan anyhow, but I still think there has to be at least one or two people from the council.
Okay.
I mean, the people from the staff always help us with these things. But if nothing else, it'll be one of us, and it may be me. I haven't done one lately. So it may be my turn.
Really stretch it. If it hasn't been already, the next between now and Mexico, it's really stretched. So.
No, it needs to happen. Okay. I'll put that on the table. It will show up on the agenda again next week in any case, wherever we are. Next one is the Registration of Youth Policy Working Group and PDP. As I understand it, the charter is almost done. The drafting team has been in its final polishing, if I understand correctly. Who is it that could speak to that? Was it you, Marika, or was it somebody else from the team?
I don't know if Mike wants to speak about it or Christina.
I'm happy to. We basically have a draft charter that I think we just need two or three people to sign off on, and we're good to go. We've tried to do as much of it by list as possible. And I think if we don't get sign-off in the next 12 hours, then at our scheduled call tomorrow, I would expect that by the end of that, we should have something that's final, at least within the drafting team.
Okay, thank you. Would the drafting team be able and willing to put together the motion that we would vote off of at our next meeting?
I suppose so.
Thank you. Putting together the motion after you've done the charter is you know, noise. Okay, any questions or comments on that at the moment? It sounds like it's really close. It sounds like it's gone well. So I'd just like to encourage them to finish and get a motion to us so that we can get going with whatever they're chartering.
I guess we should talk about that and give a little preview of that. There's no point not to because it is pretty close to final.
Okay.
And basically, we're recommending that a working form to deal with the open issues outlined in the issues report from staff and, as a precursor to a potential PDP. Obviously, the council would decide that after it gets the working group report.
Okay, so that would mean that the motion would be to defer the PDP until such time.
Yeah.
Correct. And then the second part of it is we are intending to have a workshop in Mexico City about these issues. And we've outlined, I think, three topics of conversation that we're intending to have for an open workshop. So we should start outreach right away. To get the proper speakers for that workshop and just get the word out to folks that it's happening and that we'll be talking about it down in Mexico.
Okay. Have you made provisions with staff on scheduling? Okay, I'm jumping in first. Have you made provisions with staff on scheduling such a workshop, or is that something that still needs to be done?
We're working on that.
Oh, okay, good. I just wanted to make sure. Okay, yes, Chuck.
And my question is kind of related to that. Are we talking about an ICANN meeting workshop or a working session of the GNSO on the weekend?
So I think there should, I believe, be some discussion with GNSO on the weekend, I'm hoping, but there's also it's going to be an open workshop.
Okay. That answers it. Thanks.
Liz, just to clarify, what we're trying to do is an open workshop, but then also have a working team meeting, assuming we can get critical mass. Plus the update on Saturday or Sunday. So really, you know, the short update, an actual work session, if that's possible, but also a workshop.
Okay. And we're going to get to the schedule next, but a work session could also happen on the weekend.
Definitely.
Okay. Even if many of the people are remote. Okay.
Yeah,
any other questions or discussion on this at this point? Or just look forward to seeing the charter in the motion in the near future. Okay. There's no other discussion on that. I'll move on to planning for Mexico City. In the agenda, there are basically five beginning to be tentative schedules. Now, what has been arranged for us miraculously by Glenn is that we have two rooms at the moment for the whole weekend, which means that one of the things that we had certainly planned on was having separate PPSC and OSC meetings, and then any and all of the working teams were enabled to also meet on the weekend. In addition, with having two full rooms, we also have room to fit in and any of the working groups that want to meet. Now, we have not worked out the details of all the schedules. On the agenda, as I have it at the moment, though some of it has to shift around, we have the PPSC and the OSC and working team meetings in the morning. And we have in the afternoon basically the discussion of comment review for IRTP Part A and comment review for Fast Flux. Both of those will have had their comment periods ended by then, one just barely, one in some amount of time. So basically give ourselves time to talk about those two sets of comment reviews. On the Sunday, what I have tentatively plotted in is the morning is different. The new GTLD discussions and CCTLD fast track discussions will be in the morning, though the CCTLD, some of those could move to the Saturday. It really depends on that. Now, one of the things that's come up in our discussion of the scheduling is what is there to talk about. Obviously, if there's the new draft of the RFP, there's lots to talk about. And I'm not sure whether either of those two RFPs will be out. I think the indication is that the CCTLD one may be further along and closer to being out, but I'm not sure. I've been told that there'll at least be some papers and explanatory materials out before the Mexico City meeting. But I know that the implementation team is working to very tight deadlines, one of which I think is real soon now, to try and finish their analyses of comments and then get revised stuff out to people for review. So anyhow, we've talked to, and I guess Kurt is on the line here, so he can correct any misapprehension, I guess, or on this comprehension I have.
I think he dropped off.
Okay. But that, you know, he is available, I believe, Sunday morning to talk. I don't know, other members may be available at other times, depending on how much there is to talk about, because I sort of felt that we were all talked out, the impression I got from the first RFP. We were now maybe waiting to see how things got handled in the second. So there will be two sessions, but at the moment it's unknown what. Then a session basically in the afternoon, it will be, on future work plans and capabilities. For example, one of the things we have to get going on is the next IRTP, with IRTPA being close to final, that needs to be continued. I haven't had a chance to do this, but I'm having hope that the team that did such a sterling job on the first one will be willing to continue work. But as I said, I haven't had a chance to talk to the chair yet and see whether there's any willingness to do that yet. So that's just a hope that is as yet unverified. But and that's just one thing that we think we need to think about. But what indeed are our future plans, and especially during this intensive 3 months of restructuring and whatever, we really need to have a clear sight of what policy work we're going to need to get done and how we're going to get it done during that period. There's the joint meeting with GAC. Giannis and I had some discussions. We haven't quite come up with what are the topics of interest, but as far as I can tell, some of the topics of interest are some of the comments and what effect that they will have on the GTLD process. The notion of coupling, you know, the last couple motions we had in terms of what's being called coupling the new GTLDs and IDN TLDs going into the route at the same time. Those issues will definitely be of interest, and I'm sure they'll be on that meeting. The other thing we've got on the Sunday is the dinner with the board and staff. I don't have any topics in mind yet, so if any of you have topics that you think would be a good topic for that dinner, either, you know, mention it now or mention it in email. Does anyone have a topic right off the top of their head that they think is one that would be good for the dinner?
I would suggest new TLDs and the comments and reaction to the comments, particularly the letter from the NTIA.
Okay. That sounds like a good topic.
Registration abuse. Defining the difference between use and abuse, basically, or between abuse of a registration and abuse after registration, because that's going to be a big sticking issue for us, I think.
One of the things, Avery, as we're talking about topics, but we try and pick topics, my recommendation would be that we try and pick topics that would board members would readily be able to participate in actively then without a lot of coercion and motivation and explanation. In the case of new GTLDs, I'm okay with that one, but if we narrow it to the response by the U.S. government, I think we're getting it down to a level of specificity that probably we might not be able to talk very much about that in that regard, because we're not going to have anybody there from the U.S. government to talk about that. And in the case of abuse, let's just make sure that if we go that direction that we, you know, if we need a little preparatory thing to get the discussion going, that we have it, because we don't have a lot of time in those meetings. And
right.
Just some guidelines that I think would be...
Yeah, no, and in fact, we have done discussions before, and I'll take a Q1 in a second. We have had discussions before that were sort of GNSO, sort of not quite didactic, but basically making sure. And then what we did was we had cheat sheets, and we were careful to plant somebody at every table who was able to talk through the issue carefully. So we can do that kind if that's what people think is a good thing.
Right.
I cut somebody off.
Can I get in the queue, Avery?
Yes,
Adrian.
Dina, anyone else?
Adrian.
Who was next? Adrian, yes.
Okay.
I got you, sorry. Anyone else? Go ahead, Christina.
I have a dinner topic, and I also have a question about the schedule. I think a topic that we absolutely should include for dinner that frankly requires no preparation substantively is public participation. What is the role? What is the plan? What is the direction that I can, that the board views? What do they view the role of public participation? What would they like to see done differently? What can we be doing as a council to facilitate, tell me, you know, a form of public participation that's actually effective?
Okay, thanks. Adrian.
Christina, if you're in my head, please get out.
Well, no, it's just, Adrian, I've actually been working on the letter, which I need to send to you in a minute, so that's
fine. Okay, thank you.
And
if you are in my head, please leave the letter stuff alone.
Adrian, was that a way of saying your point had been made?
I just want to pick up on something Chuck said, just in relation to the not having someone from the government there, and therefore we couldn't talk about the letter from the government. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I think that the letter's been put out there. I think it would be a good opportunity to discuss with the board the letter and their thoughts and feelings on the letter and whether they felt they needed to go back and speak to the government about it or whatever. So while I've got the board there, I would be very surprised if the board haven't read the letter, and I think it's their certainly their responsibility to have read the letter and be on top of all issues around the new GTLDs, given its prominence. So.
And Adrian, I would totally agree with you that I'm sure they've all read it probably more than once. That wasn't my issue in that particular case. It may not be something that they're very free to talk about.
Okay. Now, that's different.
It is, and I'm sorry to make
Can I ask my scheduling question?
Yes, please.
I'm just curious. I'm looking at kind of the page for the 28th and the page for the 1st, and it looks like the 1st is really just jam-packed. And I'm wondering, in particular with regard to new GTLD discussions, do we have any reason to believe that we're not going to have a next draft of the DAG? Because my recollection was from Cairo that we essentially had almost a full day's worth, although it was divided in among 2 days. And I don't see that we have that opportunity here, and I was curious as to why.
Well, I have asked the question specifically whether there would be a new draft, and I have not gotten a committed answer that there would be. And so it's been very difficult to, but, you know, we will have multiple things. As I say, we will have 2 rooms, so we will have time to schedule. I don't know how much time we can get Kurt for, and I know that even if we have 2 full days, we'll probably need 2 full phone calls after that anyway. So it's just really hard to know how much we're going to have at this point. I have not received a definitive statement that there will be a new draft yet.
Is there anybody on staff who's on the call that can answer that?
Yeah, this is Kurt. It's planned to issue a new draft of the guidebook before Mexico City.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. So we'll probably need to schedule...
Great news, Kurt.
...more time.
Now, we know that Tina's available Sunday morning. It didn't sound like she was available on Saturday. Now, that's related more to IDN, so we could design discussion to cater to that. Kurt, just off the top of my head without looking it up, what was your availability on Saturday?
I have the morning. Oh, Saturday? I think I'm available all day.
Oh, okay. So that's good to know. And any other key people that you would need might be available then, too?
We'd have the appropriate staff. Given the subject of the meeting, we'll make sure.
Thanks.
Okay. Knowing that there'll be a new document out, we'll work that into the schedule. We've got to get the other stuff in, too, but we'll definitely work that in the schedule.
Got a question on that.
Yeah. Someone has a phone. So the operator perhaps can cancel the phone that's gone busy. Thank you. Perhaps we'll move the future work, for example, to Thursday. Is one of the things that fits well into the Thursday slot. Yes, Tim.
Kurt, will the new draft of the guidebook then include information on these consultations or conferences that Paul had Levinson mentioned would be taking place globally?
I should provide more clarification. So I think there'll be more information on that, but it's not in the guidebook because it's not really part of the application process. So that information would be provided under separate cover. And then the other point I think needs to be made is that, the guidebook will address a lot of the public comment. It probably won't address, I don't think it'll address it all, and there'll be, some work left to be done.
I have a question for Kurt, Tony Harris.
Yeah, go ahead, Tony.
Yes, is this second version of the DAG, is it the definitive version? Because I've heard some rumors there might be some consideration of having a third one.
That's right, there is some consideration of that. I just tried to say that, but I guess I didn't say it too clearly. So some of the consultations that Tim Ruiz was describing will probably extend past Mexico City, so some changes to the guidebook would have to be in a third version. There was it was always intended that there'll be at least three versions of the guidebook. I think what you're asking, though, is there going to be a third draft version of the guidebook, which isn't, I don't think, settled yet.
And especially if it will have a significant impact on the timeline.
Right, and, you know, coming from you, Tony, I expect you to mean any impact on the timeline.
Okay. Want to, you know, definitely make sure that we have as much time for that as possible, and as I say, I'll move the future work item to Thursday. Quickly going through the rest of the schedule, because we still have more agenda, and I'm still working on the schedule. On Tuesday is the AXO meeting. As per our recommendation that was accepted, each of the groups is asked to contribute three topic suggestions. So I'd like, you know, this group to start thinking about, we need to get those in soon, the topic suggestions that they would think were good. One question I have, are any of these topics that we want to talk about with the board also good for the AXO? I think one of them, some of them may be, you know, too specific, but some of them may not. So, you know, I'd like to take that to the list. I'll send this out to the list. There's the talk of a joint meeting with the CCNSO. Both of us have sort of not wanted to say, you know, yes for sure, or, you know, Chris and I are for sure not, because we're both sort of being respectful of the other one. I think in both of our heads there's already a lot of meetings, already a joint meeting, I mean, already a lot of, you know, AXO meeting, and is this truly necessary? The one point that sticks in both of our minds on it is that there is some work that perhaps is SO work that can be done in common, and is it worth having a meeting, or are we just too busy with other meetings that having this meeting really doesn't add much to anything but a crowded schedule? So I'd like to hear from, you know, people in the GNSO, do we want this? Do we want to try and sit in an up-joint meeting with the CCNSO, or is the AXO enough and having liaisons enough? Any comment on that at this point?
Aubrey, this is Christina. Can you clarify for me what exactly is the purpose of the AXO meeting?
The purpose is that there are things that should be discussed by the whole community at large when it's in formation, and not just left to single groups all doing it individually, and then all of a sudden getting caught up with each other at the end and think, oh my God, we were going in different directions, we should have talked at the beginning. And it's also to get beyond where it's just CCNSO meeting with GAC, GAC meeting with ALAC, ALAC meeting with us, etc., but to bring it into certain things that are community-wide. Let's get to them early. Let's discuss them in points early.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Okay.
Just in relation to, I know that, you know, in the past when we've had CCNSO and GNSO meetings, every time we've walked away from it, we said, that was a good idea, let's do this again. I don't know what shifted from that, maybe the topics that we discussed, but if that's the case, you know, I still feel that there is quite a distance away from, especially with respect to IDN, CCTLDs and the fast track process. I think there's still some distance away from some perspectives there, and it may certainly help to get some points of view directly from them as a council. And a meeting would help to do that. Just my thoughts.
Okay, great, thanks. Okay, just going on with this, the public meeting on the 4th, at the moment, I've put down basically two major issues, the who is issue, the who is studies, plus also, you know, presentation, we should be ready for staff requests, have an open discussion, we should be able to vote on that by then. And then the current who is policy requirements for IDNs, basically a discussion of the SAC issues and whether there's a policy issue there and an open discussion. And then the GNSO improvements and restructuring, a report on the PPSC and OSC activities, update on constituency recertification, update on stakeholder group charters in the public forum, and also a brief self-introduction of the new groups that have filed notice of intent to form new constituencies or gone further, and the standard open mic. That's what I've got slated tentatively for the general meeting, the open meeting. And then the Thursday meeting is the standard, and I'll move the new work into there, which fits quite well, the post-meeting review, review of comments, and planning for next period. Okay, we should talk about this more on the list, but I'd like to get to the status updates at this point. Chuck, can you take over the meeting for me for a few minutes?
Okay.
Starting with the board update.
All righty. Denise, I think that probably is going to come to you. I don't think there's been, there hasn't been a board meeting since then, but do you have anything to, since our last meeting, so do you have anything to add to the, with regard to board update?
I can just let you all know that the next board meeting is scheduled for February 3rd. Their agenda is posted on the website, and just really quickly to highlight a few things, the board will get several updates, including updates on the development of their next strategic plan, independent reviews of SAC and RSAC, IDN, CCTLD fast track, several redelegations. They'll also get an update on GNSO improvements, and two action items have been listed there. One is a holdover from previous meetings that they haven't acted on. That's the GNSO Council term limit bylaw change as a result of the vote that the Council took a couple years ago on this issue, and also the role of the individual users, and that's a follow-up to the previous board resolution asking for recommendations. On that, staff is recommending that the board acknowledge the work and extend the deadline and encourage input. There's an extensive reporting from various board committees. The board has restructured its committees, and they'll be reporting at this board session. I'm happy to answer any questions, and again, the full detailed board agenda for February 3rd is posted on the webpage.
And I think the council, Bruce forwarded the agenda to the council list, too.
Oh, right.
Whichever way is easiest for you.
Right.
Thanks, Denise. Any
sure.
questions? Okay. Now, the specific things listed here, I don't know that we need to talk about anything. Policy items, the RRA future and answers to questions posed at the last meeting. Any discussion on that at all? Has staff considered any next steps with regard to RRA or the registrar constituency or anybody else in the council for that matter? Hearing silence, I guess there's nothing. We really don't know what if any next steps might happen there.
Well, Chuck, we did have an email from Kurt on that, and which I replied to. I know he has to read it, but we could. I'd love to hear from Kurt. You know why other options weren't considered, and why he thinks that that now this needs to go directly to the board.
So. Yeah, so can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Okay, great. I'll be in a better spot in just a second. So, hang on. So, I'm still on.
Operator, if you could take care of that business signal line, we'd appreciate it.
I'm trying to find it right now. One moment.
Thanks.
Yeah. So, should I go ahead, Chuck?
Yeah, go ahead. If you don't mind, Kurt, go ahead.
Yes, certainly. So the purpose of the email was just to reiterate the description of the process that was sent to the council on, I think, in October and then later on in December, that there were, you know, after reading the agreement, that there appeared to be essentially two options for implementing changes in the RRA. There was a process for making the agreements binding on the registrars upon the expiration of the agreement by getting a two-thirds vote of the council, well, writing a report, getting a two-thirds vote of the council, and then getting a board approval, and then another path that did not make the amendments binding on registrars, that involved approval by the board and then having the registrars agree to, individually agree to adopt the changes. So the purpose of the email was simply to reiterate those were the two options identified in the previous note to the council, and say we were thinking about the second option.
Well, with that explanation, Mike, would you like to further probe?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that's because you didn't like the answer of the council with respect to the first one, but I think the council, obviously I can't speak for everybody, but I think at least a lot of us would like to have the opportunity to essentially approve some of those RAA amendments that have been negotiated and set a path to discuss. I don't see why that's not a viable option, right?
So I'm not sure, and the way it's been described, I don't know if there's been any discussions in council meetings on this topic, but there's been several discussions about it outside formal council meetings, where it's been stated that outside of a PDP, undertaking a PDP, that this was a method outlined in the agreement where the council could approve a set of amendments. So it's always been portrayed that approving a subset of the amendments was, for the council to approve a subset, then the board would approve them, was not always identified as a viable option, but, that can be re-explored.
Can I get in the queue, Avi?
Yeah, please. Was there anyone else in the queue, or is Christine at the top of it?
She's stopped.
Okay, thanks. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Christina.
Kurt, just following on to Mike's suggestion, just looking at the agreement itself, it appears that Section 4.3.4 would allow for another means forward, frankly, that would allow that kind of division that Mike is suggesting. And I, frankly, until I read it for the first time about 15 minutes ago, wasn't even aware of that option. And I was just wondering if you could speak to that, or whether it would be possible to get information about it at a later time.
Christina, for the benefit of everybody on the call, could you read
it? Sure. Apparently, and again, I've only read it 15 minutes ago, but what 4.3.4 allows, as I understand it, is that in the event that the council does not get to a two-thirds majority, that the ICANN board can, on a temporary basis, act in such a way that they can, quote-unquote, that their action or policy would be considered a consensus policy under very specific criteria.
Is that
and
the
that
emergency
would
policy?
To, as I read it, to basically buy some time.
Is that the emergency policy provision?
I don't know if it's an emergency provision or not. I mean, that may be why we've never heard about it before.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't be what is in, like registry agreements now. There's an emergency policy provision that has very special restrictions, but I suspect that wasn't implemented back when the original RAA was done. But it sounds similar.
So I can comment on that authoritatively. I believe that specification is for stability and security reasons, and there's a fairly high bar, but like I said, I would need to look at it. Actually, our council would need to look at it.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, that may be why we haven't, it hasn't come up, but if that's the case, it would be helpful to have that confirmation.
Okay. Well, I'll look into that.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments on the RAA futures?
Yeah, it's Alan. I have a question.
Okay.
Kurt, if I understand what you're saying correctly in the previous conversation, is the GNSO has the ability of going through its normal PDP on items which are within, essentially, within what's called a picket fence.
within the list of items within the RAA that are identified as subject to consensus. And you're saying that for the other terms, contractual terms and other terms within the contract, ICANN only has the ability to change those at renewal with the agreement of the registrars. That is, you don't have the ability to unilaterally make changes at renewal time.
That's correct. And we can only make them mandatory, I think, if there's a two-thirds approval vote of the GNSO.
Doesn't that tie ICANN's hands rather strongly, of that if there's something that's really wrong with the contracts that would hurt, that would not be in registrar's advantage, to the registrar's advantage, but would be in the advantage of the rest of the community, ICANN can't do anything about it? It seems to be a rather awkward situation.
If I understood correctly, you said if there was a two-thirds of the council, then it could...
But that goes back to negotiated between the registrars and then coming to council. So again, it involves the registrars coming to a tacit agreement on it, just as this current package was done.
So, Alan, are you suggesting that the RAA should be open to changes at any time by ICANN on just some short notice to registrars, and they just
I'm saying at renewal time, does ICANN have the ability to make changes which it feels are to the advantage of the community, but registrars would not necessarily voluntarily agree to or be enticed to through other exchanges.
I don't know why that should be a consideration. I mean, if the GNSO can't come to agreement that such changes are a good idea, the registrars don't want to agree to it, that kind of gives ICANN a pretty powerful position to abuse, doesn't it? I mean,
but from the current,
there has to be some protection for registrars too, so they have some kind of a predictable business that they can run, and that, you know, at the end of their contract, things aren't going to be so dramatically different that, you know, it isn't worth staying in business anymore. So there has to be some protection both ways.
I understand that, but what's being described to us so far is that it will only come to the two-thirds vote of council, as it did a few weeks ago, after there has been iteration and agreement from the registrar. So this sounds like a loop.
Something in the picket fence that could go up through PDP with the registrar.
I'm talking about the non-picket fence issues.
Right. Well, there has to be, everything can't be in the picket fence to right back to where we were. There's no predictability for registrars in their business.
But there's no need for the council to have to basically take it or leave it, an entire package of amendments that were unilaterally negotiated. That's what's going on here. And I don't see where that's mandated in the RAA or anywhere else.
Okay, I was asking you more questions.
I think you have the option of pursuing the PDP. I mean, that's still out there. I don't think anybody's implying that couldn't happen. On the particular issues that then...
Well, wouldn't it be better if the registrars and everyone else just agreed on the ones that could be implemented, and then we talked about the other ones?
That's what we tried to do for the last 2 years, Mike, and this is where we're at.
But I don't think that's true. I just don't think that's true. There's a lot of...
We had several comment periods on the work that was done. There were workshops. There was a lot of public comment, and what we came up with was what we felt we could get registrars as a whole to agree to, that actually provided some improvements. It doesn't close the door, but it gets us somewhere. That's where we were trying to get to. And we were sincere in that effort, whether anyone wants to believe it or not. But and no one's saying that, yeah, this is everything everybody wanted. It wasn't on either side or any of the three sides, whatever you want to look at it. But it was a step forward. It is an improvement.
Okay. I'm going to have to put a more substantive discussion on this on a later agenda. This one was really to get an update on where we were and what we could do. Now we need to figure out what, if anything, we're going to do next. And I'll put that on a future agenda to talk about. Any other questions relating to what we can or could do? Okay, thanks. I think we already talked about GTLD and IDN CCTLD. Policy items, is there anything to add to those two at the moment? Okay, is there anything new on the GeoRegions Working Group? Has that started up yet, or is that something still in waiting?
This is Denise.
Gone.
I think Rob might have stepped away.
Actually, I'm here, but Olga could give an update as well.
Oh, yeah, okay, Olga. Okay, we will have, we tried to set a date for the for this week or the week before, but it was very difficult. What Rob was trying to do is to have everyone in the group for the first conference call. So we will have our first conference call next week. Rob, could you please remind me the date? I don't have my agenda with me right now. I think it's the 4th of February, Thursday.
Actually, it'll be next Tuesday morning on the 3rd.
Okay. So that's all I can tell you about it.
Okay, thank you. I'd ask if there were any questions, but can't imagine there are. Drafting teams. The who is one. Chuck, do you want to give the status?
Sure. We're hoping, if not this week, by the by early next week to actually send around a motion, at least a first motion, on asking staff to start work on doing some cost estimates and feasibility estimates for a subset of the studies. The motion is fairly close. There's a few little details that we're still grappling with on our list, and we may, I don't know that we're going to have a call on that or not next week. Depends on what happens today and tomorrow. When that happens, we'd appreciate it if all of you would send the motion around to the groups you represent as quickly as possible and get any feedback you have, so that allow as much time as possible for our meeting on February 19th, so that we can possibly take action on the motion at that time.
Right. Although, as I say, I've got it at the moment in the Wednesday meeting. I think probably at the next meeting will probably be good for a substantive discussion, and then, you know, possibly have the vote then, but possibly have the vote the following meeting.
We're trying to be sensitive to time just because of the fact that certain members of the community have been very impatient about this particular action.
Okay. And for anyone that wasn't participating or listening in on that, basically all the constituency information came in, and it was an act of basically looking at the averages and stuff and picking several of the top rated ones as an average among this whole GNSO constituency. Fast Flux, and basically both Fast Flux and IRTP Part A PDP have documents in review. I don't know, is there anything, anything more to add to those two? Oh, travel policy. Sorry.
Yeah.
I skipped over an important one. Travel policy. Go ahead, Olga.
I just wanted to apologize. I couldn't update the table. Tim was so kind to update it today and send it to the list. I have been traveling the last week and with a few internet access. So my proposal is to update this table for next week and see if we have some discussion in the list. And something to communicate to the council. I will do that Monday or Tuesday, and I will send it to our drafting team. That's all I can tell you right now.
Okay. Just want to confirm, though, everybody that needs to be in the system now for traveling to Mexico City is registered with the system. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure of that. Okay, great. Okay, as I said what I said on both Fast Flux and the RTP Part A PDP, is there anything to add to those? Okay. On GNSO improvements, on PPSC and OSC, obviously we approved both of those charters tonight. The working teams are working. Does anybody have anything to add to either of those? Okay, next item is constituency renewal. Basically, Rob, would you like to say anything on constituency renewal and stakeholder group charters?
Yes, Aubrey, thank you. We have received formal petitions from two existing constituencies for renewal, and they've been posted on the GNSO Improvements Information page. The NCUC and the registries have formally submitted their reconfirmation. Staff has had correspondence and communications with the IPC and the registrars, so we know that they are going through their efforts, and we're hopeful to get something soon from the other constituencies. I assume, based on the discussions during the last council call, that we'll do a little status report from reps of those constituencies on this call if we can. In terms of stakeholder groups, so far we've had significant discussions with members of the NCUC who have been developing a draft charter for the non-commercial stakeholders group. We've had some excellent discussions of that. Funds or discussions with groups regarding the other stakeholder groups.
I don't know if it was just me, you were cutting out on at the end there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's probably a coverage issue. I apologize.
Okay. So basically, you've got them. What are the deadlines again for these things?
We're hoping to have, well, the phase process set up by the board created the expectation that we would have all of the constituency reconfirmation documents in prior to the 3 February board meeting. I've communicated to all the constituency leaders in that regard, so I'm hopeful that they'll are all on track for that. The stakeholder group petitions are due to the board prior to the Mexico City meeting.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any questions or comments from anyone else on any of the GNSO improvement issues?
Carlos, sorry,
yes,
I got connected, and I have just been connected again. And just to confirm, I got the end of someone talking about the proposal from NCSG, from NTUC, the former NTUC, and then some deadline. So I probably lost something like 3 minutes of discussion. Just to confirm, which are the deadlines we're talking about?
As far as I understand, that the deadline we're talking about was for the constituency renewal, and I understand that you're among those that have already submitted, and that was February 3rd, and the deadline for the stakeholder group charters was in time for discussion at the Mexico City meeting, and I don't know, that's probably 1 or 2 weeks before that, but that was a Mexico City deadline.
Okay. Thank you.
Rob?
Thank you.
Yes, Christina.
You'll have the IPC report by close of business Eastern time tomorrow.
Great, thank you. What we're doing with all of the reconfirmation documents that come in, we're posting them on the GNSO Improvements Information page. As a package, all of the reconfirmation submissions will be the subject of a public comment forum. Our goal is to have that start on 3 February, and that'll be for 21 days through the 24th of February. That'll be an opportunity for the community as well as other constituencies to comment on the submissions that are made by the existing constituencies. Also, just as an item of note, Avery, and you and I have corresponded on this, there is a significant bit of activity in the community and interest being expressed in the establishment of new constituencies. All are aware we've only had one official notice of intent to form a new constituency so far, but we're hearing a lot of interest from various groups. The real critical element will be whether that interest actually is transformed into action. The sense is that there will be at least a couple, probably before Mexico City, based on the discussions we're having.
And as you'll probably notice, I did put a chance for a brief, you know, 3 to 5 minute self-introduction during the open council meeting, just to make sure that, you know, they could speak to possible interested people. But I really do plan to restrict that only to those who have filed the initial statement of interest forms
and not those that haven't gotten that far yet.
Rob, it's Mike Rosenbaum. Did you say you did not have the business constituencies?
No, we have not seen that yet, Mike. If anyone who is responsible for submitting those, please make sure that you CC me or Denise, just to make sure that we've got them. But I have not seen that one yet.
All right. Well, I know we finalized it on Monday, so I'll chase it for you.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion on this? Any other business of any sort that's come up during the meeting? No. In which case, I thank you all. I ask you to think about getting involved in a drafting team for post-expiration domain name recovery PDP. I thank you all, and thank you, Chuck, for covering me for a bit.
No problem.
Okay, and that's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Aubrey.
Thank you, Aubrey.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.